Cavaliers joining us right now, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. We've been talking about it throughout the course of the show. We're giving away a couple of tickets to see the Cavs take on the Miami Heat on February 24th. You'll have to make sure you're dialed in throughout the conversation. We'll give you the cue to call. Tim, what a wild 24 hours. Cavaliers lost in a very exciting contest last night. And then, of course, they end up being very active at the trade deadline today. Wow. Andre Drummond, are you as surprised as everybody else?
Yeah, that's for sure, Bull. I'm very surprised because there were rumblings about the Cavs having any interest in Andre Drummond. So the Cavs were perceived to be sellers. And if you look at a deal like Andre Drummond, you go, well, you're taking on an all-star center that has a player option for this summer for $28 million, I believe, which you would think he would exercise. So, you know, you're taking on an Andre Drummond. And as I was talking with you before we really got rolling here, it's more of questions about this deal rather than answers as far as how the Cavaliers will move forward.
Yes, there are some questions because now you've got a loaded front court. You know, Sam Amico of SI.com mentioned a few moments ago on Twitter that at least for the time being, it doesn't look like a buyout is something that either side is going to agree to at this point. So, you know, now you've got Love and Thompson and Drummond. That's your front court, but that makes a whole list of other questions because now you have to start to wonder, do you have Tristan come off the bench? How is all that going to work? So it seems like this has created an interesting set of issues for head coach John Beilein. Not that he doesn't welcome the addition of Andre Drummond, but this certainly throws a fascinating wrinkle into his rotations, does it not?
Well, it sure does. Again, as you said, do you go with a front line of Drummond, Tristan, and Love? Because there certainly isn't the classic wing player there, that stretch player. I would think Love and Tristan would both be considered fours. So, you know, you've got a question there. You've got a question in regards to just how John Beilein's offense normally runs. He normally operates going back to Michigan and West Virginia and what we saw early, or not even early, but more than halfway through the Cavs season. He likes to get his big man out and have a perimeter shooter for his five. Well, that's not Andre Drummond's strength. Now, again, he's just an incredible presence in the paint. I mean, leads the league in rebounding and in every category, offensive, defensive, and, of course, overall. So, John Beilein, it's a nice problem to have because you've got an all-star center and you have to figure out how you're going to utilize him and then make all the pieces fit together. I would think, again, I'm not a coach, so believe me, I'm not saying here's my advice, but I would think, pick and roll scenarios with Drummond, with Sexton, Garland, and even Porter. I mean, you would think that could be very effective with a guy like Andre Drummond. So there's a lot of things that are going to come into play in all likelihood in the next 2 months. I think the Cavs are going to try to figure out what can we do with this guy and how do we make this work just to see what the potential is. So, you know, the next 60 days for the Cavs season, the final 30 games, are going to be very, very interesting.
And I think if you look at this deal on the surface too, Tim, it just seems like it was an opportunity that was way too good for the Cavaliers to pass up, even if it does leave you with a very loaded and in some cases maybe an overloaded front court. The Cavs essentially gave up two guys that they were probably going to part ways with at the end of the year anyways, and John Henson, who I know a lot of people liked, and Brandon Knight, who just had a very hard time getting out on the floor in a crowded backcourt as well. The Cavs also left parted ways with a 2023 second-round pick. You know, a pick the Cavs probably wouldn't have touched for another couple of years anyway. So it really seemed like this is a very, very low-risk and potentially high-reward deal.
That's a very accurate way to put it because as great of two guys that John Henson and Brandon Knight were, they were terrific and they were truly professionals for John Beilein. Your point is taken that they were on expiring contracts. I certainly don't think they were in the long-term plans of the Cavaliers. So caliber of Andre Drummond for those two guys and that second-round pick that you alluded to. You know, we talk about asset accumulation and just going out and getting pieces. Now, is Andre Drummond a long-term piece, or does he just become another chip, to use that term, that Kobe Altman can play in the future? So there's still a lot of moving parts to this. If he becomes something that the Cavs feel could be a real fixture in their lineup, hey, you've got him locked up for next year, and you go from there. If they look at it in the next 60 days and they go, this just isn't a piece here, then you work some sort of sign and trade for an all-star center in the summer. So, yeah, I think for the price they paid to get a guy like Drummond here, whether it's for the short term and then utilize him as an asset in a future trade, or long term, thinking, boy, we could find a way to make this guy work in our system. Either way, for what you gave up, I think it's terrific.
Again, we're speaking with Tim Alcorn, the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He joins us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Don't forget, in just a few moments, we'll give you the cue to call to win two tickets to see the Cavaliers take on the Miami Heat. And Tim, I think if nothing else, it sure seems like that has drummed up a ton of interest with this fan base, because I think a lot of people thought that the Cavaliers would be sellers at the deadline, not buyers. And I think if you look at the roster they've got right now, let's just say the Cavs are able to somehow, some way, get them to stick around past this coming year and the following year. I think you've got something very, very interesting here, because you've got the tripod, as Jim Jones likes to call it, and you wonder how he kind of fits in with all of that, because you've got 21, 20, and 19-year-olds in that backcourt. I know the Cavs are very, very relying heavily on that group to kind of mature, and they're growing together as we speak. And then you throw a guy like Drummond in there. At 26 years old currently, he'll be 27 by the time next season rolls around. And Tim, he's got so much durability to him. That's something you don't always see with big men in the NBA anymore. I mean, he's played 78 games or more going all the way back to his second year in the league. And if they can find a way to keep him around for a couple more years, this all of a sudden becomes a nucleus, I think, that a lot of fans can get behind.
I would absolutely agree with all of your points. I mean, again, there hasn't been a lot of buzz, to use that term, about the Cavs this year. And you know, I'm there on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, I watch these young kids and I see them develop, and I think there's a lot of excitement about that. But to your point, the fan base, I don't think at this particular point, has gotten really excited about it. Well, all of a sudden, you know, if you're an NBA fan, you certainly are aware of Andre Drummond. I mean, he's one of the premier big men in the league. So, yeah, I would hope that would spark, you know, a little more, know, following for the Cavs, to use that term. And Bull, as far as on the floor, you know, the other thing that we didn't even talk about was on the defensive end, where, you know, night after night, if you've heard me call the games, you know, generally there's an offensive player for the opposition that's getting to the rim and getting there very easily. Well, you've got Andre Drummond standing there now. I mean, he's a rim protector, so it's going to help this team on the defensive end of the floor as well. When you're a perimeter defender and you realize, hey, I've got a big 7-foot guy behind me that's going to clog the lane and that's going to protect the rim, boy, that helps you out immeasurably.
And, you know, that's an area where the Cavaliers certainly have lagged this season. Defensively, there certainly have been some questions that have come up throughout the season. And, Tim, we could sit here and talk about this trade all day long, and I'm sure in our future conversations we'll certainly spend some more time on this. But I want to get into last night's game for just a moment against Oklahoma City. There were some bright spots for sure, but there were some issues for the Cavaliers down the stretch. I mentioned this about an hour or so ago. Watching Darius Garland, I'm beginning to get the impression that maybe he's hit that rookie wall. I know he had an air ball and a three in the fourth quarter last night. He hit the side of the backboard on a three-point attempt on a corner three in the second quarter last night. You get the impression that he might be hitting that rookie wall?
Well, I know they gave him a day off last week. They said it was simply for rest. Excuse me, sorry about that, Bull. So, yeah, it might be a situation where he's starting to wear down. And I think everybody anticipated that somewhat. because he only played those five college games last year. So we're sitting at 52 right now. So he's played 10 times as many games this season than he played all of last year at Vanderbilt. So there may be some of that running into the wall. And yeah, there were some points last night. I agree with you that you thought, man, where did that come from? But I think in the big picture, Darius Garland has been everything and anything the Cavs would have asked. But, yeah, I can see where he might be getting a little tired, and that All-Star break can't come soon enough with Sunday's game against L.A. and then Atlanta next week, and then the guys get time off. And I think it'll do Darius Garland a world of good.
Well, and one guy who consistently brings the energy every single night and a guy that scores consistently every night might be the guy who's under the greatest amount of criticism, and I can't really figure out why. That's Colin Sexton. You and Jim Jones were talking about this in the broadcast a couple of nights ago. It was on Monday night against the Knicks. You know, Jim had mentioned, look, this kid is the most consistent scorer that the Cavaliers have. In a year where there haven't really been many consistencies, Colin Sexton's the guy that shows up every single night and has been the Cavaliers' most consistent scorer. And Tim, I don't think that can be overlooked. In a season where the Cavs have only won 13 games, Colin Sexton is having a pretty nice sophomore campaign.
He sure is. I think he's up to six straight games now where he scored at least 23 points, and you're right. He has been the consistent scorer throughout the year. And you mentioned the frustration. I think it goes back to maybe last year where it was this thought process that Colin Sexton might. I just don't think he has that mentality. I think he has a scorer's mentality. And so the frustration of he doesn't get enough assists, I think in the long run, you're going to see those assists go to Darius Garland. I think Darius Garland is going to be your point guard in the classic sense of that, and Colin Sexton's going to be your scorer. And you mentioned he comes to play every night. He's never missed an NBA game. Played in all 82 last year, has played in all 52 this year, and for the most part, he's going to get you 18 to 23, 24 points. He's a scorer. And that's his game, and he's been very consistent with it. And you know, I mentioned I think last night during the broadcast that last year he had 27 total games of 20 points or more, and he's already closing in on that this year. So that scoring mentality has just increased. And I think he's been terrific. I really thought he should have been part of the Rising Stars next weekend in Chicago.
There are a lot of folks who thought that he should have been on that list and should be playing in that game as well, but we'll save that discussion for a different time. Tim, he had the ball in his hands in crunch time last night, and you know we could sit here and nitpick coaching decisions all day long, but were you surprised, and was Jim Jones surprised at this too, that at the end of the game, boy, Dennis Schroeder really kind of gave him fits. He really made it tough for him to bring it up the floor and take it across the timeline. And, of course, ultimately the end was when he stumbled and lost the ball because Schroeder again gave him fits. It was a little surprising to watch that and not to see anybody kind of lag behind and just give him some room to operate. Because, again, Schroeder was on his tail the whole time, and he did that on consecutive possessions. I sat there and thought to myself, wait, why isn't anybody kind of lagging behind here and helping him create a little bit of space, maybe set a pick for him, make it a little bit easier for him to get down the floor and set the offense? Were you guys at least a little bit surprised to see that in the final few minutes of last night's game?
Well, there's the flip side of that coin is, you know, on Collins' thought process, you also have to know when to give that ball up and then maybe let the ball come back to you. You know, that's an old basketball thing. If you give it up at some point, if you're a scorer, it's going to come back to you. So, but you know what, Bull? I think in the big picture, and I know we talk about this at every level, you know, you and I have talked about it at the high school level for years, learning how to win. You're on the road, you're in OKC, here's a team that's 30-20, and they're in the thick of things in the West. You've got to learn how to close those games out. That's part of the decision-making process. That's part of coming up with a big play or not making a critical foul. And so I think there were a lot of things last night that came into play, especially late, and it's all that learning how to win. And I think once the – I was saying this to somebody earlier today. I think once the Cavs win a game or two, and I've talked about this at the high school level for all my years at EOL, when you win a game that you aren't supposed to win, that nobody gives you a shot, things then accelerate from there. That may have been the game last night. If you go down to OKC and beat the Thunder there, maybe that's a game that gives that team a real shot in the arm. I think they felt pretty good about themselves when they got on the bus and we got on the plane going back home. Not that you feel good about a loss, but, man, you took that team right down to the wire. You go back to last week, the home game against Toronto, defending world champs, one of the best in the East. Got it to within one, three different times in the fourth quarter. So now you've got to take that step of just learning how to win, learning the plays that have to be made, the decisions that have to be made.
Well, of course, we'll get a good look at this new-look Cavaliers team on Sunday when they take on the L.A. Clippers on Sunday night down at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Tim?
Yeah, our buddy Marcus Morris will be right back in town.
He will. That's right. We thought we got rid of him when he and the Knicks were at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on Monday when, of course, he had a sensational game at the expense of the Cavaliers coming away with that overtime win, and we get to see him again on Sunday. But looking forward to the new-look Cavaliers on Sunday, Tim. Should be a lot of excitement over the next few days here with that deal going down earlier today. As always, we appreciate the time. We look forward to catching up again soon.
Terrific. Bull, I always appreciate it. Always great to be on WEOL.
Thank you very much, Tim. Again, that's Tim Alcorn.